I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter 18. Once you find Genesis 18, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to find verse number 1. Stand with me, if you will, please. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in a tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Now go down to verse 9. "They said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid, and said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." And that's going to help us with the sermon tonight. Let's pray together. Father, bless us now. Bless us with thy presence. Holy Spirit of God, take a simple lesson that has a big purpose and get glory to thyself. God, we'll be very down to earth and very practical tonight. But I think it's a sermon that is very, very important to our people and to those that you would have us to help. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I call the sermon Twin Rivers Baptist Church, or TRBC is abbreviated in my notes, hospitality. Abraham in this story is called a friend of God's, of course. He's sitting in the tent, or in his tent, during the hottest part of the day. He looks up, and there stood three strangers, people that he had never seen before. He asked these three strangers, he asked them to stay. He says, I want you to stay. Now, if you have your Bible open there, you can look at Genesis chapter 18. You don't have to. I'll tell you what we're going to look at. We're going to see how Abraham begins to converse with these three strangers. So he's in his tent. Three strangers show up. He begins to converse with them, but I want you to see how he treats them. In chapter 18, verse 3, it says, "And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." When he says, pass not away there, he's saying to them, I want you to stay. So he wants them to be there. He asks them to stay. In verse number 4, it says, "Let a little water, I pray thee, pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under a tree." So now he said to these three strangers that he's never met before, he said, "I'm glad you're here. I want you to stay." He said, "We're going to get some water so you can have some water to drink. We want to refresh you. We're going to get some water so you can wash your feet." And of course, they wore sandals, and it would have been dusty. The washing of the feet was a very traditional and a thing of propriety for them. He said, "I'm going to get you some water so you can wash your hands." And then in verse number 4, it says, "And rest yourselves under a tree." He said, "Look, I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to rest while you're here. I'm going to get you some water to drink, and we'll help you to wash up a little bit. And we're glad that you're here." Then in verse number 5, it says, "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on." That doesn't mean die. It means you're going to move out before long. "For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." So in verse number 5, he said, "I'm going to go get you some bread." Then in verse 5, he said, comfort your heart. You know what he was saying when he said comfort your heart? He's saying, I want you to feel secure. I want you to know you're wanted. I want you to be comfortable while you're here. Then he makes the statement, I'm your servant. Now, understand something. This is Abraham, really one of the most powerful men on the face of the earth. Three strangers show up. He said, hey, I'm glad you're here. Let me get you some water. I want you to stay. Let's help you to wash up a little bit. I'm going to get you some bread. I want you to relax. I want you to emotionally feel wanted and desired. I'm your servant. Then in verse number 6, the Bible says, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. So now he's going to get them some fresh bread. He went and got Sarah involved. And in verse number 7, he tells them to run and go get an animal from his herd. And he told them to run. He said, don't linger. We're taking care of some important people. You say, but preacher, he didn't even know these people. I know. The Bible says they were strangers. But he said, but we're making fresh bread. I love fresh bread. Whoever thought of this idea of putting Subway sandwiches in the gas station, smell it when you're pumping gas. If you're smelling fresh bread, it makes you want to go in and get a sandwich. And so I always do. But Abraham says, go get some fresh bread. Go get some fresh meat. And then in verse number 7, he says, and Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Now they're hurrying. Everybody's scurrying along and hurrying along, and they're trying to get this bread made and get this meat ready. And then it says there in verse number, verse number 7, it says tender and good. It's referring to the calf that they're going to get. Uses the word good about that calf. You know what? They weren't trying to come up with leftovers. They were not trying to come up with a blemished calf. It's a good calf. Said, go get one of the best. Looks to me like they're trying real hard to treat somebody right. They got a young man involved and they haste to dress it. Then in verse number 8, the Bible says, and he took butter. You say, why? He's having hot, fresh bread. Said, get the butter. It wasn't margarine. It was butter. He said, it's in the Bible. Amen. Finally got Uriah's attention. Haven't heard him say amen for weeks, but I mentioned butter and fresh bread, and he's shouting glory. But it says they took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So now he's got the butter out, and he's got the milk out. And the Bible says he stood there and served them. He doesn't even know these people. They've not been to his tent before. He's not sure who they are. He doesn't know what they want. He doesn't know why they're there. I would say Abraham is quite the host, quite hospitable, if you will. They ask, where's Sarah, your wife? She was outside the tent, eavesdropping. Now, Sarah was over 90 years of age. Abraham was over 100. One of these strangers then begins to speak to Abraham. Everybody in modern-day vernacular, everybody's chilled out. They're eating bread and fresh meat, and boy, they're all washed up and relaxed, and they know they're wanted. And all of a sudden, one of these strangers began to talk to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a baby. See, God had promised Abraham a son when they were younger, but it never came. And in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 12, the Bible tells us that Sarah laughed. She had her ear up to the tent door, and she laughed when this stranger said she was going to have a baby. Matter of fact, she even mocked what they said. She basically said, sure, I'm going to have a baby. She's outside the door. Someday you'll get to see that. She probably didn't have the hips I've got, but she said, it's going to happen. And in verse number 15, Sarah even lies about having mocked and said in her heart, that's not going to happen. The truth of the matter is, Sarah's not being a real good hostess here. Now, Abraham was a tremendous host. Do you notice everything that Abraham's doing? And I have to tell you, the custom would have been Sarah would have been doing a bunch of this. Probably something not quite right in Sarah's attitude on this particular day. Because Abraham is saying, get the bread, get the meat, get the water. He's kind of taking care of everything. Who in the world are these strangers? And I just want you to know the prediction. Having a baby, it came true. Who in the world are these strangers? I think, according to the Bible, they were angels sent from God. Who knows that one of them couldn't have been part of the Godhead? I don't know. I can't tell you all that, but I can tell you this. They were sent from God. I'm not sure that Abraham and Sarah would have had any idea who these angels sent from God were. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 2, let me read a verse to you. The Bible says here, it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Very interesting. Abraham was very good to the strangers. Sarah was a bit rude. She mocked. She teased. I say, folks, you and I, we ought to treat the strangers that come to our church as if they might be angels. You don't know the difference. In Hebrews 13:2, where it said, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." We're to entertain strangers. This doesn't mean you're to go out and find a street person and tap dance in front of them. That's not what it means to entertain strangers. What's it talking about? It's talking about being hospitable. It's talking about being gracious, be a host. Everything that Abraham did was good to do as a host. The word entertain here is the same word used in the Bible, hospitality. We're to show hospitality to strangers. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says this, "We are to distribute to the necessity of the saints given to hospitality." Folks, you and I are to be given to hospitality. 1 Timothy 3:2, it uses those same words, given to hospitality. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." The word entertain and hospitality virtually mean reach out, pull them in, make them feel wanted and comfortable. Take hold, pull them towards you. Folks, that's what a church ought to do when strangers walk in the back door. You ever been to a church where you walk in and everybody's staring at you and they're making you feel uncomfortable? Like, who are you? What are you doing here? What do you want? The Bible teaches we're to pull them in, make them feel wanted, make them feel comfortable, and we are to practice hospitality. We have guests here tonight. We have somebody that visited us on Wednesday night, and they came back on Sunday morning and came back on Sunday night. I'll promise you, they felt welcomed. They feel like they somebody wants them to be here. We're to reach out to strangers. We're to reach out to visitors. Folks, we have to reach out to the new people, pull them into us, and make them feel wanted and important. Do you realize Abraham didn't even know who these men were? You say, boy, he put a lot of energy into that. He had no idea who they were. If this had been a church setting, Abraham, boy, he had the bread cooking and the meat, and he had a people being able to wash up and clean up and relax and chill out and sit under his tree. And I mean, everything, everybody was hopping saying, "We have visitors. We have visitors. Oh, this is so important. Oh, make it happen, everybody. Do your part. Make them feel like they're important. Make them feel like they're wanted." That's exactly what a church is supposed to do when people walk in the back door. Reach out. When there's a visitor on the bus route, everybody on the bus route ought to reach out to that visitor and make them feel like they're wanted and they're a part. In your Sunday school class, boy, it's scary sometimes. Somebody new comes into church and they sit in a Sunday school class and they're a little uneasy. Everybody ought to reach out to them and make them feel like, hey, it's okay that you're here. You're not an intruder. You're not trespassing by coming to our church. In the youth department, teenagers, when a new teenager comes, you reach out to them. You let them know it's okay to be here. Don't be clicky. Don't make them feel like they can't be a part. Now, I don't think any of us ought to become best friends with anybody until we know that they are going to behave scripturally. But I think you ought to be friendly to everybody. Hey, in your life, you reach out to the new people. In our church, we reach out to new people. Hey, nursery workers, let me tell you something. Boy, when a mama walks in the back door and she comes back there to the door at that nursery, she needs you to be hospitable. She needs you to convince her it's okay. It's going to be all right. I'm glad that you're here. And you go out of your way to make that mom and that baby feel like they're wanted and they're important. And you're going to, hey, you ought to convince that mom. She's met you for the very first time. And her most precious prized possession is that little bundle that's in her arms. She ought to be convinced by the way you handle yourself and you handle that baby that you'll take care of that baby as if it were your very own, and I know a couple of you, and even better than what you'd care for your own. That's how she ought to feel. She ought to say, oh my, what fine treatment this is. Thank God for it. Now, our churches grow, and there's a variety of reasons why churches grow. I think churches grow if the truth is exalted. If the Bible and Jesus are exalted, a church will grow. I think churches grow because of soul winning. And I don't think you grow because you go out and win people and get them into the church as much as if you'll obey God and be a soul winning church, God will bless you. We don't go soul winning because it builds a church. We go soul winning because we're commanded to go soul winning. And then God honors soul winning, and God will bless that. So I think a church will grow because of Bible preaching and teaching and soul winning. I happen to believe that a church grows because of standards. I really believe that. There's all sorts of preachers that are giving up their standards because they think it hinders the growth of a church. I happen to believe that it prunes the church, and it makes the church even stronger and causes it to grow. I really believe that, and I'm not going to change my mind about that. I wouldn't give up my standards if we could only get 10 people to come. But I think standards, I think hating sin can help a church to grow. But I'm going to tell you something else. You've got to get the balance of it. Hey, boy, if we're going to have straightforward Bible preaching and soul winning and standards and the old-time religion, you need the old-time love. You need hospitality and love and care. Sometimes old-time Baptist churches can almost become arrogant and mean toward people because we stand for something. Now, I want to stand for something, but one of the things I want to stand for is also love and courtesy and kindness. Treat everybody that walks in the back door like they're an angel. I kind of think that's what we're being taught. Abraham did not know who those people were. But like Abraham, you and I need to make people feel like they can be a part and they're welcome here and go out of our way to serve them. I'm going to give you some very quick points. It won't take long. Now, you know how preachers lie about that, but it won't take long. But I'm going to tell you some things I want us to be careful of, and you say why. Our church is swelling. I'm swelling, but our church is swelling. I don't know why. Look, just all sorts of people and visitors come, and it's visitors you invite or that I invite. But boy, just people are driving by out here on the road and stopping in, and God is working. But we got to treat people right. We've got to treat people right. I'm going to give you some practical things. At the end of this sermon, I'm going to hand everybody a piece of paper, and each one of my points is going to be printed on that piece of paper. I want you to take it home and look it over. First of all, let me tell you this. Number one, be decent to everybody in the community so that they possibly would be a visitor someday. You say, well, you know, if somebody comes down here to church, I'm going to be good to them. I'd like for you to be good to your neighbor that's not come to the church yet. Be good to the people that you work with. Be good to the people down at Walmart and at the bank and at the place where you shop. You see, if we're good to people in the community, we stand a better chance of getting strangers to come into our church. There are a lot of people who say, I'll be on my best behavior, preacher, here at the church. Well, I'd really like some of it to rub off into the community. We'll fare better that way. Number two, I wish everybody would greet everybody. Can I tell you something? It is dangerous when you assign greeters and hosts for a church. It's a dangerous thing to do. You know, we have greeters. You know, Brother Robert, he works the back door, and the Andrews are back there, and Brother Daniel's back there, and I'm glad. They do a great job. But it can be dangerous when you assign greeters at the church, because you know what everybody thinks? There's the greeter. I can be a stick in the mud, because there's the greeter. The truth is, everybody ought to be a greeter. Everybody should. We have our hosts and our hostesses and our greeters, and thank God for it. They open doors for people, and they're to greet people and to smile. But folks, every one of us ought to be seeking out the strangers that come into our church, and we ought to be helping to entertain what could be angels unawares. So don't get the idea that the people that are stationed at the back door for the specific purpose of greeting people are the only greeters in the church. You are all hereby delegated and nominated to be official greeters in the church. You say, me? Yeah, even you, crabby face. Everybody ought to be a greeter. So, be decent to everybody in the community. That'll help us. Number two, greet everybody that comes in. Number three, we have our visitor parking spots out there again. Some of you seen them. If you pulled into it, you looked at it and said, oh, I can't believe this is here. So you backed out and you moved. But there are a couple of spots where you can park that are made for visitors to park. Let's make sure that we leave those open for the visitors. Eventually, we'll get some nicer signs. These are the very same signs we had at the old church. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to say to visitors, we've tried to get you up close, trying to give you a spot to park. You say, why is that important? You say, they don't give a thing to our church. I know it. And you're such a good giver. And we owe the entire church's financial success to you. And we all want to praise you and bow down and worship you like you do yourself. But we're trying to reach people. And I think by saying to the visitors, we put a place out there, try to park in it. And I know there's only two visitor reserve parking spots for visitors out there right now. And on a big day, we need about 40 of them. But at least we're trying. But just remember that. Respect that. Number four, introduce yourself. Tell them your name. Meet someone. Tell them your name. Then if your wife or your spouse, your husband's nearby, tell them your spouse's name. Introduce them to your husband or your wife. And then even your kids. Folks, I'll tell you something. When people have children, and then you introduce you and your mate to them, hey, and if you're able to grab a hold of one of your little ones and say, hey, let me introduce you to one of my children, it means something to them. They feel like, what are you doing? You're pulling them in. You're pulling them to you. You're making them feel like they get to be a part. They're welcome. They're wanted. That's very important. Number five, try then to introduce them to other church members. Well, if somebody comes in the back door and you've greeted them and you tried to introduce them to your mate or to one of your children, then don't be afraid to walk them over and say, hey, by the way, let me introduce you to Ronnie Howard. And hey, and then let me introduce you to Cassie Ellswick. And let me introduce you to Rick Young. Hey, don't be afraid. You say, I don't even know them. I know. And Abraham didn't know the people he was serving. But do you see how Abraham went out of his way to make those people feel comfortable? That's what was going on. And so introduce them. If you bring a guest, don't be afraid to come find me and say, Pastor, let me introduce you to old Joe here. That's good. I like that. Don't be afraid to introduce them to Mrs. Owens. Don't be afraid to introduce them to other people. It's a part of being hospitable. It's a part of hospitality. Number six, don't be afraid to ask them to sit with you in the service. You say, I don't know them. I know you don't. I know you don't. And people didn't know you before they knew you. You love that deep truth from the Bible, don't you? But ask them to sit with you. You say, there's no room in my reserved seating. There is no reserved seating here. There is none. Those chairs out there are open game, and whether you like it or not. But hey, see, when you say to a guest, hey, you have anybody sit with this morning? And they say, well, no. Help them find a spot near you so they can feel like they're just part of the family. You just took them in under their wing. Next, help them find the nurseries if they need to. Just take them back, and boy, if Nanette's back there working, take them back and say, "This is Mrs. Steed, one of our fine nursery workers," and introduce them and make them feel like you know them and they know you. And hey, you're just walking around treating them like you've known them forever, and you're their friend, and you're glad to see them. You know, if you'll do that, they won't walk around walking on eggshells, wondering, am I about to do something wrong? Am I about to embarrass myself? No, you're right there to help them out. Help them find Sunday school classes for themselves or for their children. Look, when our bus kids arrive, the bus workers deliver the kids to the classes. But you know, a mom and dad or a mom or a dad, whatever the case may be, that walk in the back door back there, they have no idea where the classes are at. And if you know, and you say, "Well, preacher, I don't know where they're at." Well, there are charts on the wall with room numbers. You could go over, and here's all you have to do. You go over, you say, "Hey, let me help you get the kids to class. Let's go over here. Here's the chart." You can kind of show it to them and say, "If you ever come in and you're wondering, this is here's the chart, but right there it is. Your teacher, right there. That's your teacher, and his name is David Steed. He's kind of ugly, but that's him. And I can take you right to his class. Walk him down there and say, 'Hey, Brother Steed, this is my newfound friend, and this is his son, and he's going to be in your class today.'" Boy, that'll make a difference. That'll make a difference. Now, you know, when we were in our other building, visitors didn't have to go far to feel like they were everywhere. But we had a couple visitors this week that said to me, "This place is big." And then we went to show them the rest. And they said, "My, what a maze." And to a lot of people, this is a pretty massive complex. There's a lot of rooms and a lot of hallways. Hey, make them feel comfortable. Next, and this is 9, ask them this question: "Can I help you with anything? Can I help you with anything? Is there someone that you're searching for?" You know, a lot of times we'll go out and invite people to come to church, and I often, when visitors come in, I'll say, "Hey, who invited you today?" And when they tell me, I'll say, "Well, she's here already, or he's here already, or he'll be in just a little while, or can I show you where he's at?" That means something to them. Maybe they need to know where the pastor's office would be, or maybe where the restrooms are, where the nursery is, where the particular class is. But those kind of things are important. 10, get to them and invite them to come back. Hey, when the service is over, don't be afraid to run over and say, "Hey, I greeted you earlier, and I'm glad that you came, and I hope you enjoyed the service, but we would love to have you back." It wouldn't even hurt for you to say, "Hey, why don't you come back tonight? Set with me. Tonight, the service is at 7 o'clock. Wednesday night, the service is at 7 o'clock. Just invite them to come back. 11, tell them about the activities and the extracurriculars around the church. Hey, I was telling a lot of people about our banana splits we were going to have on Become One of the Bunch Sunday. I would say to people, "Hey, won't you come to our church? Hey, we're going to have banana splits this Sunday night. You're going to enjoy it." And I would say, if you don't like the preaching, trust me, you'll like the banana split. It's worth it. And I'd talk to them that way. But you can advertise our ministries. We've got King's Kids. We've got the Flyers Club. We've got Youth Ablaze. We've got a ladies' fellowship. We've got a men's prayer breakfast and prayer meeting. I know this. We had somebody come here not long after we moved here and put all our new signage out, and they seen the Flyers Club. Aisha, you'll enjoy this. They thought we had a club for pilots. Because, you know, we're not very far from the airport. So they come and said, "Boy, I'd like to get involved in that Flyers Club." And, this guy's 40 years old. And I'm thinking, well, you know, the beard will have to come off if you're going to be with the 3 through 5 year olds. But hey, look, advertise the ministries. A teen revival, the men's prayer breakfast. You know, all of those things give us a chance to let them know what we're doing. Let them know what we are. 12, brag on Jesus and brag on your church. And I don't think we ought to tell them something that's not true, but I think we ought to tell them God is blessing and be positive and tell them what God's doing. Folks, we live in a day and age where people are virtually, Brother Ellswick, why don't you step out? We've had a handful walk out. I just want to make sure we know where they're all at, and they come back in the service when they're supposed to. That's what youth directors are for. All right. Listen, hey, listen, brag on the church, brag on Jesus. Do you realize how many churches people go to and it's dead and dry and morbid and there's no desire for revival and there's no desire to grow? And the truth is they've almost got the opinion it's R4 and no more. We've got what we want, and you want to stop in, that's fine, but be on your way after the service is over with. Don't disrupt our little unit. Did you know it's not supposed to be that way in the church? We're supposed to be reaching out to people. We can't make our church grow, but we can be hospitable. We might not be the biggest church in the world, but we could be the friendliest church in the world. And so, brag on the church. Brag on Jesus. Number 13, you can offer them food. Abraham did. I've watched guests come in, and someone say, hey, won't you let me buy you lunch after church? Be shocked. Somebody will take you up on it. And you can even offer. You could say to someone, maybe a guest comes in and you try to be kind to them. You could say to them, hey, listen, won't you come next Sunday and just come by and have a meal with us? You'd be shocked. Abraham, that's what Abraham did. My wife and I have had virtually thousands of people eat in our homes through the years. I mean, you say, why? Yeah, just... it can mean something to someone. So offer them food. Then you could deliver. You could, hey, maybe if they give you your address, say, hey, I'll stop by and visit you. Make some cookies or a pie or something and take it by. When Mrs. Owens and I, when I got out of Bible college, I went to work for Dr. Hiles, and he wanted me to start a young married couples class, and we did. This is what we did. Every time a couple would come and visit us, Mrs. Owens would make a fresh pie, and they would come visit on Sunday, and when we would go out on our soul winning and visitation time, we'd take that fresh pie, we'd knock on the door. When they'd come to the door, we'd hand that pie to them. You know something? Everybody let us in their house. Everybody did. Then we'd have a chance to witness to them and try to help them. Now, when it got to the point, poor pastor's wife, when it got to the point when she was doing 14 and 15 pies a week, we had to change it. But what we did is we recruited some people to start helping with it, and they would help to get that done. They were so impressed. Now, you know, I lived up north. This is what everyone said about it, though. We would knock on the door with the pie, and they'd say, bah, that I think is what they call Southern hospitality. Well, I would think then in the South, it ought to be much easier then to do. You say, well, there are certain places you knock on the door, you're going to get shot. Well, I don't think that's everywhere. But what I'm trying to tell you is, what are we doing? We're reaching out, trying to pull them in. Number 15, and so you know, 15 is the last numbered point on my outline. when people get saved... And I realize people will get saved, and sometimes the bus kids go back to get ready to get on the bus and everything. But let me do this. Let me recommend that when people get saved, if you get a chance, greet them and congratulate them. The biggest thing in the world just happened to them. They just got born again. And I apologize. I know how congested our auditorium is, and when everybody turns to go backward, if you're not careful, you get sucked into the momentum and you get drug out to the parking lot when you didn't even want to go that way. We laugh, but everybody, you know what I'm saying. But fight like a fish upstream, be a salmon, and come and say to those people that just got saved, congratulations, I'm so glad for you. And when new members join, folks, and if we're not careful, this church, I mean, for years prior to me being the pastor, people would get saved, but if we're not careful, it becomes old hat to us. We say, oh, some more people got saved. You know, there are churches out there that never get anybody saved. There are churches out there that never get anybody to join. We had 33 people join our church in 1 week. Oh, that's old hat. Somebody else joined the church. Okay, well, I'll tell you something. I grew up in a church where it didn't happen like that. It wasn't like that. We were fighting and scratching just to stay alive every moment of every day. And when visitors came, we all surrounded them and thinking, what is this? Are you lost? Are you here on purpose? Hey, look what God's doing. But don't let the blessing of God become commonplace to you. I told people, I've seen by the mercy and the grace of God some revival off and on, little bits of it in my life. And I've said to people, don't forget what you're seeing. Not everybody gets to see it. It doesn't always last forever. Appreciate it while you have it. And so, folks, I say to you, when people are getting saved and joining the church, and when they make decisions, congratulate them. Congratulate them. I'm going to tell you this story, and I've got to hurry. The First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, a man walked into church one Sunday morning. He walked in. He was by himself. When he walked in, a family from the church came over and said, "Sir, you look a little bit lost." He said, "It's my first time here." And they said, "Would you sit with us in the service?" He said, "Sure." And he did. They actually invited that man to their home for a meal. He was a guest. He didn't even live in the area. Said, "Sir, would you come by? We've got enough. The wife has a roast on, and why don't you come by and eat with us this afternoon?" And he did. He went back to the evening service. He was so amazingly impressed. It wasn't many years later, he wrote them a $300,000 check to help them launch their college. His name was Russell Anderson. It was the Anderson part of Hiles Anderson College. He walked in. They didn't know who he was, and he wanted it that way. And he was so impressed with the way he was treated. He wasn't ostracized. He wasn't made to feel like an intruder. He was wanted. He said, "I was so impressed." He said, "I thought it worthy of investment." And I'll tell you something else. If people, look, people come and go out of a church. That's not uncommon. Everybody that goes, that doesn't mean they hate you, hate me. People come and go. But let me tell you something. I want us to treat everybody right, whether they're coming or going. You know what? I've learned there's sometimes God transfers someone, but someday they come back. You don't know. I have never kicked anybody in the tail on their way out, ever. It's not how it's supposed to be done. That's not how it's supposed to work. Could I recommend that on this day, I happen to believe Sarah was a good lady, but I think Sarah must have been having a hard day. Because Abraham is taking care of the butter and the milk and all that, and all men know cooking is a woman's job. Amen? You bunch of cowards. I didn't get one. Amen. The eating part is important to us. Well, I don't know if Sarah was having a bad day as she was uninterested and she mocked and laughed and was a bit she was a bit offensive in the way she handled these strangers. They knew that she had mocked. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So it's saying we do this, and it shouldn't be that we're miserable while we do it. Hey, let's not fuss over that parking spot or fuss over that pew or that spot, your chair. Let's not be rude to anyone. Hey, if an angel unawares was watching you in church to determine if a big blessing was available to our church, I wonder what the result would be. If God sent an angel here to check us out to see if God wanted in a supernatural way to bless us, and that angel ran across you, would the angel report back to God and say, "God, the place is blessable"? Or would the angel go back to God and say, "Rude, cold, uninterested, self-centered, a jerk"? What's a female jerk? A jerkus? Jerkette? Listen, I want us to continue what we do. Let's be friendly. There's a spirit, there's an atmosphere here that's very, very important. When guests come, we ought to want them. And they ought to know they're wanted. And they ought to know that they're welcome. And that we will roll out the red carpet in doing everything we can, even if it's inconvenient for us, to help them feel like this is a place where people will be treated and treated well. we're going to start a new ministry in weeks to come. It's going to be called the Hospitality Ministry. And what we're going to do is there are going to be some ladies, and they're going to bring to the services on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. They're going to bring some homemade treats. And when guests come to our church, the ladies are going to actually walk up to people they don't know. And they're going to meet them, and they're going to hand them a homemade treat and thank them for coming and treat them with dignity and kindness. Mrs. Durbereau is going to oversee the ministry for us. But I promise you, some of you are saying, man, I didn't get any homemade treats when I visited. Well, we're catching up, and I've seen a couple of you. You don't need any homemade treats. But folks, listen, I believe this. I want to be able to preach, and honestly, I want to be able to preach hard and straightforward. You can help me with it. Because if you will be good and kind and gentle, if there's some good hard preaching, the attitude of the people balances it out so people don't think we're a hateful church. We hate sin, not people. They've got to see the love. They've got to see the kindness. They got to see that we're good, wholesome, unified, sweet people. If they see that, then we may preach and teach the truth with, by the way, sometimes it's pretty pungent. Sometimes it's pretty rough. And it's got to be, because the truth is God's. But while we're preaching that truth, God wanted us to be like Abraham and just make those people feel like, we want you here. We want you here. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an altar call. If you're here and you've never been saved, I welcome you to the Savior. I'm not trying to get a whole bunch of response during this altar call. This sermon, the intent is to produce something with our guests, our visitors, the strangers that come around. And so, but if you say, you know, preacher, I don't greet people. I don't go out of my way. And if you're a brand new member, you say, Pastor, I've only been a member for a week or two. Listen, I want you to reach out to people. You're a member of my church. I want you to help. Everybody can be good to people. Everybody can be friendly. If you want to come to the altar for a minute and pray, maybe you need to say, I need to work on my personality a little bit. I'm a little backwards, afraid to approach people. Don't be afraid to step out, step up, and try to help people feel welcome. We'll have an altar call. If you've made a decision and you want to make it public, you're welcome to do so. Name takers, be ready in the case that we do have a few names that need to be taken. Well, I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to come and pray, you may do so. If you have a decision of some sort you want to make public, you may come. But make sure you practice hospitality at church, around the church, around the community. You'll see our ladies in the hospitality ministry later on. We're going to recruit a few more ladies to help with it. I just want people to come here and feel like, I'm glad I went there. I'm glad I visited that place. It was worth a visit. If you rush in, you rush out, you're quiet, you go plunk it down in your seat, you ignore everybody, and everybody has to approach you. Well, really, you could go out of your way to make a visitor feel welcomed, a guest to feel welcomed. The hospitality of a growing church. Ushers, if you'll get ready, we're going to hand a copy of my outline tonight to a handful of people. We'll give one to everybody. Sarah, keep playing. We've just got a couple of people yet being dealt with. Don't you think Sarah was embarrassed that she laughed and mocked the visitors after she found out that they were actually angels of the Lord? They were bringing her good news. I mean, Sarah wanted that baby. And God gave that baby to her. She was not a good hostess. If God were going to bless, he did it because of Abraham, not because of Sarah's faith in that very moment. This is the last time through the song. Folks, you can